we do. Now, I mentioned to you earlier that with the current crisis when it comes to the supply of fresh water to our region and other regions around us, there's a lot of information in circulation, and some of it is alarmist and some of it is partially correct. We want to make sure that the information that you receive via this platform is absolutely bang on. And to that end, I have invited the head of the Caesar Water, Sham Misra, is in the house. Lovely to have you back in the studio. It's pretty, it's only when there's a drama that we get together generally like this. But it's good that you're here to answer the questions and to put the record straight when it comes to what is happening. As I understand it, we have a crisis of fairly epic proportion in the sense that the water supply to Umgeni Water has been disrupted by a rock fall, and there's a video in circulation showing that, in fact, two aqueduct pipelines have been broken in the Valley of a Thousand Hills, and that apparently means that to repair that damage, there's probably a two-week minimum hiatus before water can start to flow again. Is that the case?
Good afternoon, Dave, and listeners. I think the fact that I've not been here too often is good news for me. But I think given the current crisis, firstly, let's clarify supply into the Caesar Water Concession, which is basically the former Dolphin Coast. We get supply from the Hazelmere Waterworks, which is drawn off the Hazelmere Dam, as well as in the northern area of our service area, which is mainly the Tete area. The water supply can come from Utukela, and currently Umgeni Water have managed to get that works operational to a certain degree, and some water has filled there, and we managed to reticulate to some of those residents there. However, there's large-scale damage in the Tete area where bridges have been washed away, pipelines washed away. That's proving enormous challenges, and I think it's a long haul before we get proper services. Not only there, even in Shaka Skral, the pipelines across the bridges and the railways, etc., have been compromised, and we're currently looking at engineering solutions there as well. So about 80 to 90% of our supply comes off Hazelmere. The aqueducts that's being referred to, etc., I wouldn't think that they would affect the Hazelmere system. The Hazelmere system draws off Hazelmere Dam. From what we've been told so far is the capacity of the Hazelmere plant has been compromised owing to the very turbid waters, basically sludge coming through. And that's expected given the enormous rainfall and flows that we've had. So Umgeni Water has done an excellent job in trying their level best to get production up and running today. They have been trying to pump water to us, and we're rotating pumping between the Caesar area, which is into the Avenue Reservoir, into Itiquini, as well as into Indwedwe, which is the three systems that draw off the Hazelmere supply. So from that perspective, we're trying to get some normality, but it's not easy in terms of where we are. Our reservoirs that we had, you know, normally it's about 48-hour supply. Some of them still have some supply, and we'll make a call. We opened some supplies earlier today. There have been a few pipe breaks throughout the area. In Zimbali, there's been pipe breaks in Colwyn Drive in Sheffield area, some in Salt Rock. And obviously, we can't assess pipe breaks in terms of supply in Shaka Skral, Kubongo, Itete, Shayamoya, simply because we're not able to reticulate. The reservoirs have run empty in those areas. So if we don't get any supply into the system, all reservoirs will eventually run dry. We'll monitor the situation overnight, and we'll be due for a scheduled pumping from Umgeni unless we're told otherwise or there's difficulties, that we should pick up some levels, but we can't commit to that now because we're dealing with an extremely abnormal situation. It's not something that we could have ever predicted, and we work almost on a half an hour basis in terms of updates and changes in terms of water quality. So neither Umgeni Water nor Caesar Water will put out water that's substandard, that will endanger human life. And while, you know, we've had calls, there's lots of people say, well, we won't use it to drink, we'll use other purposes. The issue is there's too much of risk with that. You never know, a small kid can do something. So we just have to be cautious in terms of how we manage the situation. We've deployed today now 16 water tankers. The difficulty with this was when the damage occurred, lots of contractors had tankers, but no drivers. Their drivers had problems at home, getting to work. Even up to now, the transportation system is severely prejudiced. Getting supply is pretty difficult, and hence it's immensely challenging. So 16 water tankers, we're hoping to get a few more, but it's now coming up to the long weekend, where some of the contractors are are battling to get labor to assist. But we're definitely going to try to keep those 16 water tankers roving throughout our service area. For 2 days now, we've had tankers in Itete, Kobongo, Chagas Kraal, and now we've deployed into Ballito and Sheffield Salt Rock as well.
How serious is the situation in Sheffield Salt Rock and the other area you mentioned, Salt Rock, Sheffield, Ballito? I understand that in Kobongo, Itete, Shayamoya, that's obviously empty. The tanks are empty. You have to put tankers in there because the reservoirs are empty. And that protocol has been fairly well established. There has been precedent before, and I think people in those communities understand how to go about using that facility and that service. In the more affluent areas, Ballito, Sheffield, Salt Rock, it's a kind of almost, I won't call it novel, although it is. It's an unusual set of circumstances, and there is protocol to follow. Some people arrive wanting to fill up a bucky load of massive flow bins, etc., and obviously that's not the idea. What is the protocol?
So, although we've not declared any water restrictions, and given the time frames, there's no time to actually go there. But I think we all know it's a disaster we're dealing with. We're dealing with a situation where we have to be courteous, and we make sure that we professional enough to be, or humane enough, I should say, to cater for our fellow neighbors and co-workers, etc. So the normal is, you know, at the Fraser's treatment plant, where we are availing water points for people to fill up, is 150 liters at most per vehicle, per family, per day. We can't police that. We just don't have the resources. We've got teams now working on 24-hour shifts, 12-hour shifts. So we run thin on resources. Plus, we have to get, you know, staff. Every time a tanker comes out, you try to get them to the respective points because they're coming from far and wide. We're getting tankers from anywhere, from Ladysmith, from Empangeni, from Durban. So it's you know, you scramble to get resources right now. So those people, unfortunately, won't know the service area. So you have to basically hold them by the hand and take them to where they need to be.
Yeah.
It's not perfect, but I think we're definitely trying very hard together with the local ward councillors, and we're communicating with them on almost every 20 minutes or even continuously live. And they've been fantastic in coordinating in their respective wards where the points could be, especially in Chagas Kraal, Kobongo, Shayamoya, Itete, Sheffield, Salt Rock, Ballito. The ward councillors have been fantastic to assist with regard to deploying of tankers.
The good news, if one can look for the good news, is that the damaged infrastructure that we've been talking about, the pipes in the aqueducts in the Valley of a Thousand Hills, are not affecting us directly as was initially thought to be the case. So there's not going to be a two-week hiatus where there's going to be no water flowing. You've got certain amount of supply coming in. The turbidity, I presume, is going to improve as water settles in Hazelmere. So presumably, this is going to be a short-lived crisis.
I'm not sure, Dave, because rains are predicted once again tomorrow. We've got grounds that are saturated. We've got rivers that are very high flow already. It depends on how severe those rains have come. It can undo lots of the work or temporary supplies that we've reinstated. So for now, we just have to go almost a few hours at a time in terms of managing the situation. It's hard to make long-term predictions in terms of how this will actually pan out and how long.
Yeah.
The good news is, again, he's done fantastically to get some supply out of Hazelmere, and sharing it equitably with all is great news for us. That's the first win.
For those that have no water at the moment, open the tap, there's nothing there. What happens with the sewerage system? Can you use, for example, swimming pool water to flush the toilet, or seawater, as has been asked? It's a question that only you can answer.
Yeah, so I think any water now that is going to keep you hygienic in terms of your toilets, etc., is going to be a big plus. Ideally, we wouldn't like that high dosage of chlorinated water or seawater in the system. But you know what? People are going to make a plan. And we understand that that's not the norm, but it's something that can work.
Because presumably, if the system doesn't move, it's going to block up.
Exactly. So for now, the pump stations on the coast, there's a few that have been severely compromised, where access has been totally destroyed, or the electrics have been compromised by floodwaters. We're working on fixing those, and there's many in the inland areas that have been totally destroyed. You know, especially, for example, in Chagas Kraal, where the treatment works is now, the electrics are totally shot. We're trying to our level best to get that up and running again as well. So, you know, we're dealing with a multitude of work streams with the skill sets that we have to try and, as much as possible, to bring some normality to a very abnormal situation.
It's the weekend, the worst possible time, the Easter weekend, where people have obviously planned holidays, etc. Your team going to be working through?
Yeah, we're definitely working through. I left the office after 2 days yesterday in the afternoon, got back again this morning. I gave my ops manager off, and he's going to come back tomorrow. So we're working 24-hour shifts for now. We've got a roster, 12 to 24-hour shifts, depending on which scale of management you are or staff. We pen pushers from the office, but the guys on the field, we can't risk them being injured, so it's 12-hour shifts for them. But the commitment that we've got from the staff so far, if they've started the task, they try to see it over the 12 hours and then go home and then hand over to the next shift. So that's phenomenal. The guys have been great. The support from many business houses as well as the media has been fantastic, getting the right messages out and not listening to fake news.
Yeah, very important that. And congratulations to you and the team from Caesar Water. We're extremely fortunate. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Extremely fortunate in this area to have such a professional organization looking after the most critical function. Water is life. Without it, there is just simply no life. And, well, it hasn't come down to that yet. We've still got, there is water. No one is going to die of thirst. I don't believe, not yet. Anyway, not on your watch. Yeah. Sham Misra from Caesar Water, the CEO of Caesar Water. Wonderful to have you in the studio. And if I may we keep the lines of communication open so that we can invite you back in as soon as there's information to share. We'd be delighted to accommodate you.
You're most welcome, Dave. We'll definitely keep that communication line open to give the proper news out to the listeners.
Fantastic. You heard it on the afternoon show on Radio Life and Style. My very special guest, Sham Misra, CEO of Caesar Water.